The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Now we get to turn our attention to the important stuff, like who's going to be the next GM and the next head coach. And there's a couple of pretty good GM names that they're going to talk to. And then there's one that just makes me cringe.
Okay.
Nick Caserio, again.
I don't know about you. I just want them to break away from the New England South stuff. Like, if you're going to try to copy a team, copy a different team, okay?
Please.
My beef with Ohio State getting in had very little to do with what I think of them as a team. I knew they were good. I just didn't think they deserved to be there. And they go out there and they made sure that everybody knows, hey, whether we deserve to be here or not, we won. So now you need to be paying attention to us. So impressive showing for Ohio State.
Yeah, I had no problem with them getting in. My beef was with Notre Dame, but I do think that it wouldn't have mattered who the fourth team was.
Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. There you go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler. And there you are, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975, at MK Pallet. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Well, you can watch AJ and Aaron on twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can listen to me and Eric Warner. Eric will have beer, though, as he joins us now. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's it going? How are you doing, Fred?
I'm doing great, man. I am doing great. I am hanging in there. I just wish I had the beer that AJ's showing off.
Yeah, do you have some Bruce Sanity?
Have you been feeling, Eric, like boozing? Or have you been kind of like, take it or leave it?
Take it or leave it, but it hasn't stopped me from boozing.
Attaboy.
Eric, do you have Bruce Sanity there with you?
I am drinking one in a vehicle right now. I'm not moving the vehicle.
Oh,
but
that's good.
I have one poured up. I'm parked. And,
keys are in the ignition, right?
I even got
right?
a glass for it, AJ.
Keys aren't in the ignition, right?
That's right. That's okay. Right. I just had a grueling 45-minute physical therapy session, so I'm thirsty and ready for a nice Bruce Sanity.
A physical therapy session? What the hell? What's wrong with you?
Bum shoulder, man. Bum shoulder.
And it's going around.
I don't know if this stuff's working, so I think I'm going to have to go get an image done, and hopefully it's nothing worse. But it's been bugging me for several months now. I don't think it's like it's not like a rotator cuff where I can't like raise my arm above my head or anything, but it's always kind of there, and it's just kind of annoying. And like trying to do a push-up or a bench press or something,
not easy,
is excruciatingly painful.
Yeah, that's
so
my,
I don't
that's
do
my
it
life
now.
For the last 4 or 5 years, so it's no good. I am joining you. Aaron is joining you in Bruce Sanity. Patrick Creighton, we gave one to. I like to hope that Aaron, the beers that were missing from that six-pack, that was you, I hope?
Yes, that was.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure there's not some random guy drinking up our beer anymore in this place.
They were.
Well, wait
off.
A second, AJ. I got red flag number one. They sent you more than a six-pack, I hope.
Oh, yeah. But I had a six-pack in the fridge.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they sent over a full case.
Okay.
But yeah, we put a six pack in right away. You were supposed to be on last week, but Fred had the Roni. So I thought, well, it's not really fair for Fred to not be able to drink the beer with us, and it's not going to be as much fun. So we'll wait till Monday when Fred's back. But Fred's not back yet, so I was like, well, no, we're just drinking this beer without Fred. Fred can have Love Street.
Well, we don't need to have any pity for Fred since he is the season standings champion of our little Pick'em League.
Yes, he is. Look at him.
Congratulations, Fred.
thank you. Hey, it was close all the way. I honestly didn't think it was going to come down to the last game, because I had Titans minus 7.5, and if they had not just collapsed, then last night's game wouldn't have mattered. But thankfully, Dougie P decided to help me out with the Eagles, and the Washington team covered. So
it was close. Go ahead.
It's like we were all separated by one. AJ was only three behind and finished fourth. So,
I had an 0-5 week 2 weeks ago, and that was really my death knell.
I never did win the weekly pool. I was 4-1 seven times this year.
Wow. Well, hey, that, you know, you get more than it's about 2.5 times the weekly winnings for winning the season standings. So good job. I was throwing things at my TV last night, because on I think it was like week nine, I picked up a Giants 18-1 to win the division. They still could have, Washington could have, should have, probably still would have won that game. But I was as dismayed and pissed off as every New York Giants fan out there, and everybody, all 53 or 52 of the other guys in that locker room. What a farce, man. And own it, you know. That's my whole thing is, you know, he was giving some mealy mouth excuse about, well, trying to win the game and see that. No, just say, look, we've got nothing to go for, and I want to see what this guy can do in a high pressure situation. But am I bitter? Absolutely not.
Well, I mean, to be fair, this happens every season. I mean, it happened in multiple games last week. This one, I don't know really what the difference is between what the Steelers did or what the Bills did, because the Bills, they sat their starters at halftime. And the Dolphins still had a chance to make the playoffs. So I don't know what the why the Eagles are catching so much grief when all these teams are resting players or sitting players out in games that don't matter.
Well, I think Al and Chris hit the nail on the head. They said, if they were getting blown out, but the exact opposite had happened. They got steamrolled in the first quarter. They should have been down 14-0 instead of 10-0. And they came back, they were heading, and they were right in that thing. I mean, the game is tied if knucklehead Peterson decides to kick the field goal instead. And AJ, I mean, you've been in sports long enough. Don't you think, I mean, it just leaves everybody with a little better taste in their mouth going to the offense. And granted, the Eagles are a train wreck. Their issues run far and deep, and these are professionals, so this will be a distant memory in July in training camp. But it was bad karma to me, if nothing else, for the guys who are out there. That you could tell the Eagles picked it up in the second quarter. They were like, hey, they were trying to win that game. And yeah, Hurts, that was a terrible throw he made, even under pressure, to a wide open receiver, but it did warrant pulling him.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like I said, what's the difference between that and any of these other games where teams sat players in week 17?
They're in the playoffs. They don't want the guys to get hurt. They want to kind of win, but this is a competitive. If I'm the NFL, Roger Goodell, whoever, competition committee, I'm. There's nothing you can do about it, but I'm kind of like, this is odd.
I mean, why? Why is it odd? We know the deal. Would you rather win that game or pick five slots earlier in the draft?
Now that's fair. That's what I'm saying. Own up, own up to that.
You can't say that out loud, but we all know the deal. Like, because if you say it out loud, then it's in poor taste.
So here's something I want to run by you guys. Then we live in the land of greatest conspiracy theories of all time. So is this something that you think was scripted before the game, like if X, then Y? Or do you think, like, Lurie, like, made a call after that missed TD pass and said, all right, Doug, now's the time? Or do you think it was like Peterson just going rogue? I mean, what do you think really happened?
Well, let's face it. If the Eagles knew at the beginning that they wanted to lose that game, they could have just started Carson Wentz and it would have been fine. Okay? They decided we're going to try to compete. And then they said, well, God, looks good, but let's get out of this. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I joke, but I don't really know. I don't know what their plan was, but I think that the wise thing for their organization was to not win that football game.
I also think the wise thing, again, this one little isolated thing notwithstanding, is, I mean, Dougie Peterson is done in Philadelphia. Mark my words, and it doesn't take a genius to recognize that, but that team's going in the wrong direction.
This offseason?
No. He'll probably get another year.
Okay.
But it's over. And this is what organizations, whether they're corporations or sports teams or whatever, fail to recognize is like Belichick's the only guy, one of a few guys that are going to be able to recapture the mojo, right? I mean, a bad year and they still were what, 7-9, win their finale, and you know, a couple years from now they'll be right back in the playoffs. But most coaches, most organizations, you know, can't rebound from that. And you're saddled with, I don't know how ungodly high Wentz's cap hit is, but I mean, they're just a mess. And hey, we shouldn't talk about the Eagles, who cares about them anyway, but it's not anywhere near the Bill O'Brien situation or, you know, what's going on with my beloved Broncos. But it's just a level of dysfunction that just makes you go, huh. And it all started with him getting sideways with Wentz earlier in the season.
Well, I think now the writing's on the wall that Wentz is going to be gone. I don't have, you know, I don't know where he's going to go, but if I had to make a short list, I would say Indianapolis, New England, and Denver are the three teams at the top of any short list, and I think that he'd probably be a solid upgrade for any of those three. But I'm with you that because the Eagles don't, I mean, Jalen Hurts isn't good. I don't know what's like how he's going to give the Eagles any better of a chance to win. I don't see them turning this thing around in a hurry with Hurts. So I don't know. I'm with you. I think that this is a lost cause, but I also think if you're gonna have a lost cause, you might as well pick high in the draft and take one more swing at it. Maybe that player can be the difference.
At least we're in alignment that it wasn't to evaluate Nate Sudfeld.
No, he's terrible. Everybody knows he's terrible. All right, Eric Warner from Carbach is on the phone with us. He's going to do one more segment. We'll be right back. We'll talk a little about Brucanity on the other side. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This love is more than it's.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This segment is brought to you by Carbach, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we are back on the Blitz with our man, Eric Warner. And Eric, let's tell the people about this beer a little bit that I'm not getting to drink.
Well, Fred, it's a good thing you just have the Rona and you won't be out too long, because this is kind of a quasi-seasonal for us. It really does fit into our sort of seasonal calendar, but we're kind of finding, like a lot of other craft breweries, that calling a beer a seasonal is almost like gives you a bad mojo. Like, seasonal beers in general aren't selling as well. So we said, the heck with it. We're just coming with something that's totally outside the mold. AJ and Aaron, you guys can see the label art. It's a Belgian Golden Strong Ale. It's got some light kind of fruity notes and kind of bubblegum phenolic notes like you get out of a Belgian triple or a Belgian gold ale. And it's quite nice. I kind of like it. For some of those old-time Carbach folks out there who like the the barn burner saison.
Yep.
You know, this kind of hits some of those notes. It's a little more honey notes, a little sweeter than the barn burner was, but it's delicious.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it myself. It's kind of an old school beer. Like there's not a lot of breweries doing beers like this anymore because you know the deal now. It's like it's either hazy or sour or adjunct stouts. That's what sells. Not a lot of breweries are coming out with beers like this. So this is kind of out of the box.
Yeah, and you know, you think about it, AJ. You know, anybody, you're probably kind of right around the cutoff line, or maybe guys a little bit younger than you. But you know, we all, like me and Fred, like Belgian beers. You know, that was like the super exotic, like back before craft beer, right? And so, you know, beers like Duvel or Chimay or you know, some of these rare Trappist beers from Belgium. That was like the holy grail as a beer dork. And you're right, now you know the holy grail are the beers you kind of mentioned. So yeah, we were kind of, you know, tossing around ideas. What would be a good you know, obviously winter, you know, dark beers are kind of a natural for a seasonal rotator, if you will. But you know, you can also have a 75 degree day in Texas in January very easily.
Well, that's today.
Exactly. So that's why we said let's go with something, you know, a little more golden, a little lighter. So yeah, this is available in stores now. It'll be around through February. And AJ, I appreciate you breaking your fast, or as it were, because DG told me you're going on the ranch water program here pretty quick.
Yeah, I got to get it under control here. So I'll be on ranch water more than beer for the foreseeable future. So, but not today is not that day though. So I'm enjoying this one today.
I think I'm going to do my little stint. It'll be after the Super Bowl. The way the schedule is kind of lining up, I think I'll have a couple week window where I can, you know, not drink, or drink some free and easy or something. And for me, it's more just, you know, giving the liver a break more than anything else. But yeah, the holidays are rarely kind to our figures, that's for sure. But yeah, ranch water rolled today. So I know there's a lot of excitement about that. We talked about that a couple shows ago. And so that should be popping up in stores this week in a big way. So for any of you who are looking to get on the kind of low-carb, low-cal train here in January, but don't necessarily want to give up the drink, the ranch water is going to be the perfect fit for you. And we'll actually have some of the finished packaged product. You guys got the prototypes a couple weeks ago, but we'll have the final deal in. We can talk about that next show.
All right. Yeah, I do a lot more booze usually because there's not a lot of beer that's, you know, that fits with that. But that ranch water is kind of a game changer. I took some to my mom. She loved it.
What does she normally drink?
She'll drink whiskey, she drinks tequila, and she'll drink beer. I mean, she's a Love Street type gal, but she liked that ranch water. She said, oh, then, during the summer especially, she's like, I could drink this all day.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That is fantastic. Well, yeah, and that's the nice thing about a product like this is it kind of opens us up to you know, another set of consumers, you know, and this is going to be kind of a watershed year for the whole seltzer category, kind of, you know, is it really going to, like, plant the flag super firmly? I think it will. I believe, you know, the seltzers are kind of replacing light beers, as it were, and the numbers kind of bear that out. So it's really just kind of this generation's, you know, more flavorful light beer. And you know, we're, obviously going to be doing the, we can talk about that in a couple weeks, but we're going to have a four flavor variety pack coming out in March. So, we're going to have some, you know, different flavors besides just the, agave lime, to taste as well.
You're going to be back in town in a couple weeks, right?
I will, man. I booked a flight. I'm going to be back. So it would take, some kind of crazy act of God to prevent that. And I think we all realized, 2020 was enough of that. Let's have a calm, relaxing, uneventful year. That would be, fantastic. So yeah, I'll see. And Fred will be back, of course, long before that.
Yep.
And Fred, you're doing okay? You're feeling good?
Man, I feel fantastic. As I've told people, if I hadn't gotten tested, there's no way I would have known, because all I had was a mild cough and some fatigue, which happens when you get old. And I get a cough this time every year. So I'm glad I got tested, because I would have been out doing business as usual and spreading the damn thing around. So I feel great, man. I really do. I don't, I was joking before we went to break a couple segments ago. Like, I don't have the taste thing or the smell thing. In fact, I can't smell ever. My sense of smell is actually better. So,
wow. You know,
yeah. So yeah, it's just. And I'm, you know, obviously I'm getting sick of house arrest, but, you know, I'm just happy that it wasn't that serious. And there's a lot of people it's very serious for, so.
Oh, man, it's so weird. I was talking to a friend of my son's, I let him have a buddy come up to our place, which probably wasn't the right thing, but he had had the Rona. He had the Rona like 3 weeks prior. So it was like, okay, he was clean, but he said a buddy of his in the military, fit guy, 27 years old, man, didn't make it. That just unfathomable. So it really is just a weird, I mean, the odds are still heavily against the elderly, but it is still something. We're close, people. This is such a drag. We're all so sick of this, but I think another couple months and the vaccine starts rolling and the weather gets nice in the spring and it's going to drop off a cliff come April. So just hang in there, everybody. And Fred, I'm glad you did the right thing and got out there and got tested. And, you know, if you got any sliver of a doubt, that was the right thing to do, you know?
Yeah, just, and I've said all along, I'm not worried about me, but I damn sure don't want to be given to somebody who has a bad reaction to it. And, you know, we all try to look out for the people we work with and that we're around all the time. So, it was kind of a no brainer to go get checked, and you know, now it's a no brainer to stay home until I can get a couple positive or negative tests. So,
I'm not gonna lie, Fred. AJ and I were kind of, you know, joking a little bit before you had it. This was like a couple months ago. I was like, "Dang, Fred better not get the Rona, man," because I don't know. But then I got to thinking about it, and you're like a Keith Richards type, man. you've survived so much worse that, sure, you would absolutely just stare the Rona down, as you have just done, and thoroughly kicked its butt.
Dude, I have vampire blood, man. And if it's going to beat me, hey, it'll get me, great. But it's going to have to beat vampire blood, it's going to have to beat vodka, and it's going to have to beat a Love Street, which is what I'm drinking right now. So there.
Adam, boy.
All right, that is Eric Warner from Carbach. Eric, when you get back, we're gonna have to take out that beer, put the barrel, take it out of the barrel, and get it kegged up.
Yes, let's do that. So I'll first show we'll talk a little bit more about Ranch Water, and then the show after that we'll have some of that our s'mores beer, which is just about a year old now.
That's right. All right. You know, follow Eric on Twitter at MK Palette. And of course, you can find his beer at a grocer near you, or you can go down to Carbach and have it there fresh from the source, which is always recommended. Eric, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks, bud.
You got it, guys. Thanks. Well, I should have known it wouldn't be all right. But I can't live without her, so I won't even try. If I get drunk, well, I'll pass out on the floor now, baby.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and from one great guest to another, joining us as he does every Monday, our good friend Lance Zierlein. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you feeling, Fred?
Feeling fantastic, my friend. Just
good.
Looking forward to getting back the next test and then getting my ass back in the building. So,
I got you.
How's the film study been going?
Oh, Fast and Furious. 7 days a week, and I'll be up there in just a second and be up there until about 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay. So, I mean, you're running out of games at least, so that's a positive. I wanted to ask you your thoughts on, and I know you haven't seen like an actual, all you've seen is the TV broadcast, I'm sure, but the Clemson-Ohio State game, someone called in today and you know, asking about Trevor Lawrence and if we're really sure about him based on that game and what we saw against LSU. And he's like, you know, the only two good teams he's played, he's gotten beat up. And, you know, I reminded him that he won a national championship somehow, looked pretty good doing that. But what did you take away from Trevor's performance against Ohio State? And did you downgrade him any based on it?
Well, you know, I just think there is a serious question that has to be answered. And question is, we continue to call him a generational talent. A lot of people do. And I think he has generational traits. You know, he has great arm talent. He's very fast outside the pocket. Great size. You know, a really good pedigree of playing in high leverage games. But I'll be honest, over the last 2 years of watching him, I haven't seen generational talent. And I see flashes of it, and I see really, really good. But I don't know that I don't like that term being used just all the time, generational talent. I think he has really, really exceptional talent. But I just wanted to see more consistent domination from him. But I would caution anybody about crapping on a player based on one game. I mean, that offensive line was completely overwhelmed. They had no chance. And Trevor, he didn't have his best game. But, you know, the guy who didn't have his best game the game before was Justin Fields. So you've got Justin Fields, who just came off a bad game where people were, you know, really down on him. And now all of a sudden, you have some people, nobody that really knows this stuff is going to actually say Fields should go ahead of Lawrence. But, you know, that's what I'm just saying. I caution about overreaction from one game. But I do think it's fair to say, well, let's see how he plays in the biggest games. Now, he played really well against Alabama in 2018, but there have been a couple of other big games since then. He played really well against Notre Dame, too. So, you know, he's the no-doubt number one pick of the draft. The phrase generational talent, I'm a little uncomfortable with that phrase at this time.
When you see him, who's your NFL comp on Trevor at this point?
Well, I don't know. Like, I haven't figured it out yet. I'll finish watching him, and I don't really have a good sense yet. I get the feeling that there's not really going to be a guy that's ever really had that kind of size and speed at quarterback where you get out of the pocket and can really do some damage. So that one's going to take some time because, you know, like I said, he does have some really special traits. Like, he has the physical stuff that most people don't have. That's why people throw out the phrase generational, because he has rare, rare traits. So that's going to be hard finding a comp, to be honest with you. You got one for me?
Well, I mean, honestly, he looks sort of like a bigger Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he also looks like a younger Marilyn Manson a little bit in the face.
Well, that too. But I feel there's some Deshaun to him. I think that there's, you know, it's tough to say this because they're physically built so differently. But Russell Wilson, it comes to mind for me.
I get murdered if I'm at .com.
Yeah, and I guess really another one is Josh Allen, what we're seeing out of Josh Allen now.
It's funny. That's not what people were saying about Johnny. It's funny that Josh Allen is a potential comp for Trevor Lawrence. Who thought that would be the case?
Nobody.
A couple of years after he was drafted. But I don't know. The comp thing is going to be really tough because not many people have had the physical attributes that Trevor Lawrence has had in terms of stature and speed and arm talent. He's got a lot. Frankly, he's working with what John Elway had to work with. A little different body types, but the same kind of, John Elway was a very fast guy as well, outside the pocket, had a big arm. So it's probably going to have to be something like that.
And John Elway, his comp was, or a guy that was comp to him more recently, was Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Andrew Luck's not far off from Trevor Lawrence.
But really fast. Now, this guy's got a better arm. Trevor Lawrence has a better arm than Luck.
Yeah.
And but Luck ran a sub-4.6, I think, if I remember correctly. And I think Trevor Lawrence is going to run in the 4.5s, too. So there are going to be some physical similarities for sure. Luck is just really well-built from a, just a body type standpoint. Just looks, looks like a small line. It looks a lot like a linebacker, frankly.
The problem is whoever you pick, like if you say John Elway, now you're comparing him to a Hall of Famer, and
I deal with that crap every year.
And if you compare him to Andrew Luck, you're comparing him to a guy who ended up, really, with a disappointing career overall because he never won
anything. Luck would be a compliment. I think people would look at Luck as a compliment. The only reason Luck had a disappointing career, I think, is just because he just, got hurt, played hurt, and then just physically just felt beat up and had to shut it down early. But I don't think people would kill me for that comp. Now, if I throw on him like I put Pat Mahomes on Jay Cutler, well, then watch the bullets fly a couple of years later.
Right. I mean, it's tough to win with that.
I hate comps.
And Russ Wilson, all the questions that we had about Russ Wilson, Trevor Lawrence checks the boxes because, the only thing that was really can Russ Wilson do it because he's this size? With Trevor Lawrence, you don't worry about it. The skill set's very similar. You just don't worry about the questions because he's got more than ideal size.
Nothing is going to... The only things you're looking at for him right now is you're looking at decision-making and you're looking at poise in big games. You look at poise in the pocket. It's all that other stuff. I don't need to see him make throws. You want to see him have touch on deep ball, stuff like that. But all the physical stuff, it's not even a concern. I don't even have to go test and see how he throws the ball to this area of the field or that area of the field. That's stuff I had to look at for Joe Burrow. I don't have to look at that for Trevor Lawrence. That's what I'm saying. He has some different stuff to him. It's just putting it all together and being a great quarterback. That's tricky. It's to this day, it's not an exact science at all.
So who's your number two quarterback right now? And what would you say is the drop off on your grading scale from Lawrence to the number two guy?
Well, I'm about to find out. I just got my tape in today for the second half of the season. So I'm going to really dig into the quarterbacks now. And, I can already tell you it's probably going to be – I really can't say that. It might be Zach Wilson. It might be Justin Fields. There's a drop before it gets to Trey Lance after that. I think Mac Jones is further back. I think he's more of just a game manager type. That I would take in the third round.
What's the big difference between Mac Jones and Joe Burrow?
Well, I think there are some similarities, to be honest with you. I think the biggest difference, though, is that Joe Burrow is a pretty courageous guy in the pocket and outside of the pocket. Mac Jones is not. He'll hit an early slide on you, and he'll dive down when he thinks he's going to get sacked. There's a big difference in pocket courage. The second thing is, I think there is a special – the reads come open very, very easily in the Alabama offense for Tua and for Mac Jones. For Joe Burrow, he's reading a single player a lot of times. He's going to make a read on a safety, and depending on which way the safety goes with a certain route combination, he will attack the other way. And it's so instantaneous, and his and his accuracy was so unbelievable that it separated him. But I have called him a poor man's Phil Burrow because, and that's maybe even a little harsh, but he does a lot of the same stuff. He can get some yards outside the pocket. He is accurate. He has touch. He makes the throws that need to be made. There are, and he's pretty smart with where the ball goes. Like, there are, and he was much better his second year out of nowhere, the same way Joe Burrow was. So there's actually a lot of similarities if you really think about it.
And maybe if Joe Burrow had a little less pocket courage, he'd have a little more ACL left.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he could have done anything about that. I think Mac Jones will go in the second round, is my guess. I see from him what I thought I saw from Tua, which was a guy who benefits a great deal from stuff around him. It's just Tua had better physical attributes than Mac Jones does.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. Hear him on the bench Monday through Friday, 7 to 10. Appreciate the time as always, Lance. Enjoy your film study tonight. We'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right. Well, let's take it to break. There's only one segment left, believe
Got
it
some
not.
Dumbasses to talk about, Fred. Some Dumases.
Can't wait. We'll do that when we come back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Last segment, real quickly, some breaking news. John Elway has kicked himself upstairs and will hire a GM in Denver.
So he's going back to just being the team president?
Yeah, he'll focus on the big picture. And Matt Schaub retiring, which we'll miss you, Matt.
Matt Schaub probably, you know, I think because of the way that he left under not the greatest circumstances. But I think that when history is written of the Texans 20 years from now, people will realize that Matt Schaub was better than they thought. He was never a championship quarterback, but he was very good.
Yeah, he was.
And I think in the last several years, you probably couldn't have asked for a better backup quarterback than Matt Schaub. I think he's like he would have been the ideal backup for the last several years. So that's going to be a hole to fill for the Falcons. But good for him. Nice, solid career.
Yeah, well, they may be filling the starter hole, too. We'll see.
But, yep.
And then real quickly, somebody asked, do you think Clemson has a real gripe since Ohio State played 5 less games? Not once you play it on the field, no. I think you could have griped about that beforehand, but once you play on the field,
yep,
you get beat, you don't really have a gripe. All right, let's do dumbasses.
Let's do it. Let's start with a man in Chippewa County. And this appears to be in the, I don't know, it's the Michigan area. I don't know, or it's in Michigan. I don't know, like, what area. I don't know much about Michigan geography, but this man is 60 years old. David Luneman, same age as you, Fred.
Stop it.
He could spend nearly 50 years in prison. He's with
he couldn't if he's 60 years old.
Well, no. He's been charged with 8 counts of identity theft, harm to reputation, property, and 8 counts of disorderly conduct. He allegedly placed nearly 100 pornographic images and homophobic notes on public trails in the Chippewa County Forest. For 3 years. At one point, as many as 42 pornographic images were found at one time. All of the notes found on the trails reference employees of a Chippewa Falls business. In June, an investigator said he was able to get a picture of Luneman on a trail camera he placed in the woods. Said he was wearing camo with a backpack, gardening gloves, and a headlamp.
Dumbass!
Authorities say earlier that month he hit a deer with his motorcycle and was wearing the same clothing. In early October, the same investigator reviewed surveillance video of a parking lot he used in Bloomer. The investigator said he left about midnight and returned 2 hours later. Later that day, porn and notes were found on the Hickory Ridge Trail. More video captured him riding a motorcycle in the area that same day. A search warrant of his home turned up a rolling bookcase, which hit a room containing pornographic magazines, index cards, and stencils. He's denied the allegations, but he could spend nearly 50 years in prison.
Not
if convicted.
Wise,
not
guys.
Wise, guys. Fred, I don't know what the right thing to do here. If you go to the airport and you've got your gun on you in your carry-on bag, that's bad. If they catch you with it, you're going to be in trouble. That's just the facts. Now, you can face your punishment, or you can grab your bag with the gun in it and take off running. That's one way to go.
Probably not going to end well.
Well, here's the thing. When he fled, he left his ID and passport behind.
Dumbass!
It's hard to escape at that point. Fleeing the checkpoint does this man no good. It was foolish of him to run. We know who he is, and now he faces a stiff financial federal civil penalty. The first time a passenger is caught with a loaded gun at a security checkpoint, they face a fine of $4,100. Though that triple can sum, or that sum can triple, depending on the circumstances and the suspect's level of cooperation. I don't know where this falls exactly, but it seems like this falls under not very cooperative.
Yeah, you know, I could see somebody accidentally forgetting their gun in their bag, and if you do, then you're just going to have to face some music. But running, that's not cooperative. Nope.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. Listen, COVID has, in a way, you would think COVID's made it easier on criminals. Because now you're walking into a convenience store wearing a mask already. I mean, you're just blending in with everybody else wearing a mask. Well, this is one instance where it's made things tougher on criminals. And if the criminal weren't a dumbass, maybe he would have seen this coming. This man in New Mexico, 21-year-old man, he decided, I'm going to rob a bank. Unfortunately for him, New Mexico is in COVID lockdown, so they said, listen, all transactions must be made at the drive-up window. So, he went to the drive-up window and wrote a demand for money on a withdrawal slip. Not quite as effective.
Guys.
The teller backed away, activated a security alarm, causing the man to flee. Police caught up with him. Daniel Hansen. And he has since been arrested. Not wise guy. That seems like a simple thing, right?
You would think, but hey, that's why they're dumbasses.
And finally, a man in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, took a police cruiser, had the canine unit inside of it. That's not ideal. Luckily, it was
hurt,
caged, but it was
back to you.
Apparently it was intimidating him while he was driving it, and he eventually had to pull over. On top of that, his license was suspended. But he said, don't worry, guys. You don't need to worry because my father and mother are the moon and the sun. I won't be in trouble for this. I'm guessing that the cops still think he's going to be in trouble for this. And they took him to jail. $7,500 bail. Illegally taunting animals, receiving stolen property, theft, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and driving on a suspended license. Not wise guys. And that, Fred, is the dumbass report.
Which one's the mom and which one's the dad?
I think Moon is usually the mom.
Okay. Just checking. All right. A friend of mine texted me earlier. We were talking about Herman. It's kind of funny that Browse, Sumlin, and Herman are all currently unemployed and available right now.
Sometimes the grass isn't greener. I mean, I guess that paycheck's greener. But
yeah, well, all right, that's going to wrap it up. Another fun Monday. We got a lot to get to tomorrow as well. Hope everybody has an awesome evening. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Aaron. I survived. Hey, until tomorrow, stay sporty, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.